The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. If you have any questions or would like to become a sponsor, please contact our office at 919-832-5138. Okay, let's start off with Reader's Digest, Words of Lasting Interest. On a Good Friday long ago, a curious boy was determined to witness God's mysterious ways in all their forms. Heaven can't wait. And there's a picture of a young man, 8 or 9 years old, looks like he has a fedora on, and in the background and kind of overlaying him is the Milky Way and the moon and a whole bunch of stars. Ever so often, the celestial wonderings of the sun, earth, and moon will cause our nearest neighbor in space to become completely immersed in the earth's shadow, in due producing one of nature's most beautiful sky shows, a total eclipse of the moon. In my lifetime, I've watched the moon become just a shadow of its former self 18 times. But for me, the eclipse of April 12, 1968, stands out above all others. I was not quite 12 years old and living in the Bronx. The midpoint of the eclipse was to occur around midnight, but since it was a Friday night, I had no worries about homework or going to school the next day. I had received a telescope for Christmas and was so excited that I'd already set it up in my backyard that afternoon. It was a perfect early spring day with the promise of a beautiful, clear night. But there was a catch. April 12, 1968 also happened to be Good Friday, and there was no way my mother was going to let me skip church. So I did the math. The service at St. Benedict's Church started at 9 p.m., and the eclipse would commence at 10:10 p.m. I knew from experience that the average service in our parish lasted about 45 minutes. I had plenty of time. A Good Friday ceremony is a very somber affair. Everything is draped in black, and there are long periods of absolute silence. On this particular night, Father Patrick Okada felt a need to make an especially drawn-out and mournful affair. Add the fact that on this particular night, the packed service started late, and I was anxiety-ridden. I squirmed with uneasiness as I eyed the big clock at the back of the church. By 9:45, Father Okada was still deep into his homily. I kept whispering to my mother that the sermon didn't end soon, I'd miss the eclipse. My mother, unmoved, just stared straight ahead and said nothing. Just before 10, finally, I did something that to this day I am surprised I did not land me in the netherworld of roasting on a spit. I bolted out of my pew and hightailed it for the exit. "Joe! Joe!" my mother whispered between gritted teeth. My fate was already sealed, so why stop now? The only sound other than Father Okada's voice was that of my church shoes slapping against the marble-floored center aisle as they prepared me toward the exit. Every eyeball, shocked, horrified, envious, was on me as I threw open the massive wooden front doors and let them slam behind me as with a resounding boom. Adrenaline kicked in as I raced toward East Tremont Avenue and caught sight of the full moon glowing brightly in the southeast sky. Dodging cars and pedestrians, I crossed 3 streets and 2 major thoroughfares and arrived home with only 9 minutes to spare. I was consumed with glee and had not considered the potential consequences of my display back at St. Benedict's. When the service finally ended, my mother and sister took the places in the line of people filing out of the church. Waiting near the front entrance was Father Okada, along with other priests, greeting the parishioners as they left. When Mom and Father finally reached Father Okada, she apologized profusely. "For some stupid reason, Joe just had to see the moon eclipse from the very beginning," she said, before promising to severely reprimand as soon as she got home. Father Okada's response, which my mother shared with me later, saved my life. "If your son wanted so badly to see this wonderful spectacle of nature, an event that God himself has brought to all of us tonight to enjoy, then I cannot fault him at all." Looking in the direction of the other priests, he continued, "We were all discussing the eclipse before tonight's service, and we too are interested in seeing it." Then taking a few steps outside, the priests, as well as my mother, my sister, and a coterie of parishioners, gazed upward toward the moon. A small scallop of darkness had made itself evident on the left-hand edge. "Isn't this an amazing example of the precision of the universe?" Father Okada asked no one in particular. Even Mom was impressed. Back at home, I was a wreck. As I watched the eclipse through my telescope, I considered the implications of my mini rebellion at St. Benedict's. In retrospect, maybe I should have stayed to the end of the service. Retribution, I knew, was nigh. So when my mother's car pulled up in front of our house, I kept my right eye firmly pressed against the telescope's eyepiece as the moon slowly morphed into a burnished coppery red ball. Surely, I thought, this would be my last view of the event before all heck broke loose. I heard the front door creak open and shut. I heard my mother's footfalls grow louder as they came closer and closer until she reached the backyard. I soaked in the night sky's performance, hoping to imprint it on my brain before being dragged away out of my one ear. My mother stopped behind me. I braced myself. She leaned in. I leaned away, and then she gave me a peck on the cheek. With my sister in tow, she headed inside, saying merrily, "Enjoy your eclipse." On Sunday night, January 20th, 2019, in a play whose celestial script was written eons ago, the moon will once again plunge completely into the Earth's shadow, producing a spectacular total eclipse of the moon. Totality will be particularly dramatic for those of us in North America, where the ruddy moon will burn high overhead with the backdrop of a cold, starry winter sky. I hope all of you enjoy your eclipse. Joe Kao, who's the author, is an associate at New York's Hayden Planetarium and a meteorologist for the Verizon Planet News in the Hudson Valley. And the next page is a photo of lasting interest, and I'm going to try to describe this photo as best I can. Basically, what it is a picture of an open area with a hill in the background. Everything is covered in green, and little white dots are all over the screen. And you think, what are the little white dots? And in the center of the screen are two men standing inside a metallic thing that looks like a tube of some sort, with a bunch of wires and stuff coming out of it, and metal stuff and everything, and it looks like they're looking for something. And the title is Their Corner of the Sky. The Altai region of southern Siberia is famous for things that fly. Those white specks are actually butterflies, some of the more than 150 species attracted to the area's humid summers. The hulking metal objects on the ground were airborne once too. They are pieces of rockets that plummeted to Earth after launching from Russia's Baikonur Cosmodrome. Having a rocket remnant land in your yard isn't for everyone, but the locals make the best of it. These men are scavenging for high-grade titanium and aluminum alloys to sell. Some locals have recycled the pieces into garages, sheds, and fences. It just goes to show that one person's space junk is another person's treasure. You be the judge. When does a homeowner's association rule go too far? The case of the expensive mailbox. You be the judge. When Keith's strong mailbox started to look shabby, he replaced it with the one he bought at a hardware store for $35 and installed it himself. He knew exactly which one to get. The mailbox was the new version of the cedar-slated model that his homeowners association, NOA, had approved 13 years early for his Tony neighborhood of Woodsmore, located at Maryland suburb just outside of Washington, D.C. But not 2 months after he'd installed the new mailbox, he and his neighbors received a notice from the HOA. On August 26, 2009, the HOA board had voted that those modern mailboxes were no longer acceptable. Instead, the association now required each homeowner to buy a new mailbox that was rust-proof cast aluminum and monogrammed with a W for Woodmore. The HOA had also mandated that residents install the box on a matching aluminum post purchased from the same manufacturer. The cost was about $500. Homeowners had 2 years to complete the upgrade. Those who did not would be fined $100 for every 30 days until they complied. Strong and some of his neighbors were angry. It wasn't just about the cost. As a retired solar physicist who lived in a $1.5 million home, he could cover the bill. He took issue with the process. Strong and other residents complained that the HOA had violated its own rules when the board passed the new mailbox specifications, first, because it did not alert members at least 30 days before voting on the new regulation, and second, because the bylaws didn't give the board authority to revoke approval for the first mailbox. Strong decided to take a stand. It wasn't about the mailbox, he said to the Washington Post. The issue really here is property rights. He refused to buy the new mailbox, and in July 2013, he was officially cited by the board for noncompliance. In November 2014, he and his wife replied by filing a civil complaint at the Circuit Court for Prince George's County, asking for an order to stop the HOA from requiring homeowners to buy and install the new mailboxes. In response, the HOA pointed to the same bylaws, claiming that it had the power to adopt guidelines to obtain harmonious architectural design and to secure the erection and maintenance of high type and quality improvements. Did the HOA have the authority to require homeowners to buy $500 mailboxes? You be the judge. The verdict. No, it did not. In his ruling in January 2017, Judge Leo S. Green, Jr. explained that by being able to mandate a specific mailbox, the board can mandate other things. He considered this to be a slippery slope. What if the board decided tomorrow that homeowners all needed slate roofs for $50,000? Asked the Strong's attorney, Matthew Skipper. The judge ruled that the mailbox regulation null and void. Strong didn't have to pay the $1,600 in noncompliance fines. He did, however, have to pay his own $33,000 legal fees, roughly the cost of 66 of those last aluminum mailboxes, plus his fraction of the opposing attorney's fees, which were paid out of HOA dues. A lot of people have said congratulations for standing up to us, Strong told FoxNews.com. Some people even offered to help pay our legal expenses. Other folks felt differently. 2 months after the ruling, Strong found his old wooden mailbox on the ground and the post smashed in half. Your true stories in 100 words. The bad guys. My son was almost 5 when he took a trip to the post office. As I filled out my return receipt form, my son looked around at the many people in line. I noticed him staring at the pictures on the wall. Who are these people on the wall? He asked. I explained to him that they were people that the police were searching for. My son looked up at me with the sweetest face and asked, then why didn't they keep them when they took their pictures? I was without words. Kit Swanson, Land O'Lakes, Florida. Stranger love. 1 month after we moved to the United States from halfway around the globe, I drove to Dulles International Airport in Washington, D.C., with my wife to pick up her boss's guest. When we got back to the parking lot, our car was dead. It was an unexpected and embarrassing situation. Since we were new to the area, we were stuck. We had no one to call. Then a gentleman who parked his car a few spots over came to help and jump our car. Next time, it might be me in your position, he said. Spread the love. Shai Tang, Arlington, Virginia. Spell check. I learned from an early age that my name is spelled oddly, so I made a point of bringing it up to others if they needed to spell it. When I bought my first set of furniture, the salesperson asked for my name to put on the contract. I said it was Philip, with one L. He then asked me for my address. Don't you want my last name? I asked. He looked confused and said that I had already given it to him. I looked at the contract, and there it was, just as I told him. Philip Wannell, W-A-N-N-E-L. Philip Nikashish, his last name is not easy either. Bellhouse, Nebraska. Now, one of my favorite things, one that finished this sentence. My favorite one-liner is, my wife told me to stop impersonating a flamingo. I just had to put my foot down. Leah Taff, Tacoma, Washington. Love is blind, but marriage is a real eye-opener. Jenny Hamostvet, Meridian, Idaho. My favorite one-liner is I tell my friends that I run things at my house, the vacuum cleaner, the garbage disposal, etc. Gary Wilson, Fresno, California. My favorite one-liner is, you might be an Alaskan if there's a moose in my driveway as an acceptable reason to be late for work. Kimberly Sisgato, Wrangley, Alaska. My favorite one-liner is, I like to hold hands in the movie theater, which really startles strangers. Robert Jones, Kenwood, Michigan. My favorite one-liner is, incontinence hotline, please hold. Rita DeStola, Park and I, Illinois. My favorite one-liner is, the best thing about the good old days is they weren't good and the best things about the good old days is we weren't good and we weren't old. Sharon Wilbur, Waterloo, New York. My favorite one-liner is, I named my two dogs Rolex and Timex. They're watchdogs. Raymond Herzog, Middleburg, Ohio. I was raised as an only child, which really annoyed my sister, Eileen Eggert, Fieldsboro, New Jersey. My favorite one-liner is, never trust an atom. They make up everything. Andy Fry, Duluth, Georgia. Life in these United States. And the initial cartoon in this particular section is a sign above a car dealership that says new self-driving vehicles. And the salesman is talking to a gentleman as he stands in front of the car and says, if you fall behind in your payments, it drives itself back to the dealership. When the box with my Halloween costume arrived, it was empty. I called the company and asked where my Maid Marian costume was. Oh, we're so sorry, ma'am. We'll send your costume tomorrow. The representative said, in the meantime, feel free to keep the Lady Godiva costume you got by mistake. Karen Stesino, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. Whoever said, don't bite off more than you can chew, has never been able to do a buffet with my family. As my wife and I prepared for our garage sale, I came across a painting. Looking at the back, I discovered what I had written. To my beautiful wife and our fifth anniversary, I love you, Keith. Feeling nostalgic about a gift I'd given her 25 years earlier, I showed it to her, thinking we should rehang the picture. After gazing at my message for a few seconds, she replied, you know, I think a black magic marker would probably cover all of that so we could sell it. Parenthood. I like having conversations with kids. Grown-ups never ask me what my third favorite reptile is. My two-year-old has a superpower. Everything he touches gets sticky. We could live inside the school bus, and my son would still find a way to wake up late for it every day. After doing some do-yourself projects around the house, I have a new motto. Do your best to do things the right the first few times. You save money. I suggested to one of my grown sons that we all live together in one house. I could tell he didn't think that it would be cost-effective when he asked, who's going to pay for the therapist? The art of living. Fall sends more people, especially younger folks, to the doctor than any other injury. The best protector? Learn not to fall. Alcides Marino and his brother Edgar Marino were window washers in New York City. On December 7, 2017, the brothers took an elevator to the roof of a 47-story apartment building. They stepped into the 16-foot-long, 3-foot-wide aluminum scaffolding designed to slowly lower them down the black glass of the building. But the anchors holding the platforms gave way, plunging it and them 472 feet to the alley below. The fall lasted mere seconds. Edgar tumbled off the scaffolding, hit the top of a wooden fence, and was killed instantly. But rescuers found Alcides alive, crouching amid a tangle of crushed aluminum in the alley next to the building, breathing and conscious. Falls are one of life's great overlooked perils. We fear terror attacks, shark bites, Ebola outbreaks, and other remote dangers. Yet each year, an estimated 646,000 people die worldwide after falling. Falls are the second leading cause of death by injury after car accidents. In the United States, falls caused more than 33,000 fatalities in 2015. Falls are even more significant as a cause of injury. More patients go to emergency rooms in the United States after falling than for any other form of injury, including car accidents, according to the Center for Disease Control and Prevention. And while elderly people with fragile bones certainly should be careful, they may not be the group at the biggest risk of injuring themselves in a fall. In a study published last year in PLOS One, nearly 18% of men ages 18 to 44 had reported a fall-related injury in the prior 3 months, more than double the percentage of men 65 and older. Falls can happen anywhere at any time to anyone. Spectacular falls from great heights outdoors, such as the plunge from the Marino brothers, are actually extremely rare. The most dangerous spots for falls are not rooftops or cliffs, but the low-level interior settings of everyday life, shower stalls, supermarket aisles, and stairways. Any fall, even a tumble out of bed, can change life profoundly, taking someone from a robust health to grave disability in less than 1 second. It's no wonder that scientists are now encouraging people of all ages to learn how to fall to minimize injury, to view falling not so much as an unexpected hazard to be avoided, but is an inevitability to be prepared for. Training may even have been a factor determining the outcome of the Moreno brothers' fall to Earth. One theory was that Alcides lived because when the scaffolding gave way, he lay flat and clung to the platform, as professional window washers are taught to do. As the scaffolding fell into the narrow alley, air resistance may have built up against the platform, slowing it down. Deceleration is the key to improving falls and surviving injuries. As the joke goes, it's not the fall that gets you, it's the sudden stop at the bottom. Alcides ultimately underwent 16 surgeries and was in a coma for weeks. But after a long regimen of physical and occupational therapy to strengthen his legs and restore his balance, he can walk again. "I keep asking myself why I lived," Alcides said, told the BBC. "I have a new baby. He must be the reason, to raise this kid and tell him our history." Given the tremendous cost of falls to individuals and society, and the increasing knowledge of how and why falls occur, it pays to learn how to prevent them, and what you can do to lessen the harm on the split second after you start to fall. Some of the following tips are just common sense, and too easily brushed aside until the oversight has caused an accident. A few suggestions might require a lot of training, or at least some practice. They're all worth thinking about, no matter how steady you may feel on your feet. Prepare your environment. Secure loose rugs or get rid of them. Make sure the tops and bottoms of stairs are lit. Clean up spills immediately. Install safety bars and put down traction steps in showers. And treat slick surfaces such as smooth marble floors with anti-slip coatings. If there's ice outside your home, clear it and put down salt. Be careful, even in the most ordinary places. Watch where you are going. Don't walk while reading or using your phone. Always hold handrails. Most people going stairways do not. Don't have your hands in your pockets, as this reduces your ability to regain your balance when you stumble. Remember that your balance can also be thrown off by a heavy suitcase or backpack. Improve your gear. When good shoes with treads, on ice, do not wear high heels. Wear a helmet when bicycling, skiing, and skateboarding. Use a cane or a walker if required. Hike with a walking stick, and get the hearing aid if you need one. Individuals with hearing loss had more difficulty with balance and gait and showed significant improvements when they had a hearing aid, says Linda Thibodeau, a professor of University of Texas at Dallas's Advanced Hearing Research Center, summarizing a recent pilot study. Listen to your body. Drugs, alcohol, even sleep deprivation can affect balance and coordination, making them a factor in falls. If you feel lightheaded or faint, sit down immediately. Don't worry that someone might think you are weak or that you are being rude. You can get back up once you've established you are not going to lose consciousness. Eat a balanced diet to support bone density and muscle strength, especially if you are older, so that if you have less likely to be injured if you do fall. A study of more than 12,000 elderly French people in 2015 found connections between poor nutrition, falling, and fractures. Strength training helps, too. Lower body strength is important for recovering from slips, upper body strength for surviving falls. If you fall, roll. Scientists studying falls are developing safe landing responses to help limit damage. If you are falling, first protect your head. Flight trainers and parachute jumpers coaches encourage people not to fall straight forward or backward. The key is to roll and try to let the fleshy side parts of your body absorb the impact. Don't reach back for the floor with your hands, says Chuck Coit, flight director at the Lyric Opera of Chicago, describing how he tells actors to fall on stage. Distribute the weight on the calf, thigh, and the glutes, rolling on the outside of your leg as opposed to falling straight back. Food. If you're throwing away these leftover parts of fresh produce, you could be missing out on some key nutrients. Food parts you should never throw out. Pineapple core. When you carve out the core of a pineapple, don't throw it in the garbage. Pineapples contain bromelain, an enzyme that can reduce nasal and sinus inflammation, mitigate arthritis and muscle pain, and potentially fight cancer, says Lauren Popick, registered dietitian. Chop and add the core to fruit salads, slaws, chutneys, salsas, or stir-fries. Blend it into smoothies, or toss it into water, tea, sangria, or even marmalades to enhance marinades to enhance the flavor. Kiwi skin. If you never thought you could eat a kiwi as you would a peach, think again. That skin is, in fact, really good for you. Kiwi skin has more fiber than the rest of the fruit, says Kelly R. Jones, M.D. Preserve your vitamin C by not peeling the kiwi before you store it, since vitamin C decreases once the fruit is exposed to oxygen. If you don't like the skin's texture, add a whole kiwi to a smoothie. Wash all the rinds and skins before eating, of course, using cold water and a vegetable brush. Onion skin. When skinning an onion, hold note of those scraps, which contain a high level of quercetin, a phytonutrient that fights inflammation, reduces blood pressure, prevents arterial plaque, and keeps the heart healthy. Red onion rings contain more quercetin than white ones. Add them along with the rest of the onion to soup, stock, or sauce, then discard before eating, says Propec. Banana peel. Most of us eat bananas without giving the peel a second thought. Here's why that's a mistake. Banana peels contain tryptophan, which boosts serotonin, the happiness hormone, says Popek. To use the peel, go ripe. Ripe tends to be softer, thinner, and tastier, she explains. She recommends boiling them for at least 10 minutes to soften. Then add to smoothies, stir fries, or soups, or puree and add to muffin or cake batter. For a treat, slice and bake in bananas with the skin on. Citrus zest. Don't just squeeze lemon over fish and then toss the rind. According to Popek, there are some great nutritional benefits in them, including more than a gram of fiber and 2 tablespoons of zest, nearly 3 times as much vitamin C in the peel than in the flesh. And the other essential vitamins and minerals, such as folate, vitamin A, calcium, and potassium. Grate the colored parts of the peel and sprinkle on green beans, blend in smoothies, vinaigrettes, or marinades, or stir into yogurt, cottage cheese, or oatmeal. Orange, lime, and grapefruit zest add to the flavor and nutrition with less calories. Watermelon rinds and seeds. The delicious red insides of a watermelon make a refreshing snack. But there are powerful nutrients in the rind and seeds as well, says Popek. The white part of the rind contains the amino acid citrulline, which is converted into arginine, which helps to increase blood flow, improve heart health, boost immunity, and reduce muscle fatigue. Add watermelon rind to smoothies. Chop and add to fruit salad, salsas, chutneys, or slaws. Mix into soups with potatoes and carrots, or pickle it. As for the seeds, which contain magnesium, iron, folate, and other key vitamins and minerals, toss them in olive oil and salt and roast at 350 degrees for 10 to 15 minutes. Then sprinkle on salads or add to trail mix. Celery leaves. Celery leaves are rich in magnesium, calcium, and vitamin C. You can use them in salads as part of vegetable stock or as a garnish, says Elise Shapiro, MSRD. And with that, we're going to flip over onto Consumer Reports. Still confused by ad blockers? Web ads aren't like ads in a magazine. They come packaged with tracking elements, bits of code that may collect data about your device or what websites you visit, and potentially even computer viruses or other malware. They're also just plain annoying, as anyone who has ever done battle with a flashing pop-up ad knows. No matter which web browser you use, even one that claims to have built-in ad blocking, such as Chrome, it's smart to add a dedicated ad blocker, a downloadable computer program that works with your browser to block ads or trackers in an effort to better protect your digital privacy. The tricky part, there are dozens of free programs to choose from, and many of them have similar-sounding names. So consult our breakdown of the 3 widely used options. ABP, AdBlock Plus. This very popular ad blocker is a good choice if your priority is to block annoying ads as opposed to sites that track your online behavior. The AdBlock Plus extension determines what to block based on a crowdsourced list of more than 83,000 pop-ups, ads that steamroll over content and videos that play automatically. However, the program lets through some ads on its acceptable ads list. Don't want those either? In Chrome, select Options in the drop-down menu, then uncheck, allowing non-intrusive advertising. UP, uBlock Origin. This extension employs the same crowdsourced blocking list as AdBlock Plus, but it does so without any wiggle room. It blocks pretty much everything. By default, the extension also blocks elements focused on tracking data and known malware domain. None of that security experts we contacted recommend uBlock Origin over the similarly named uBlock. All three blockers work with Chrome, Safari, and Firefox, but only AdBlock Plus and Ghostery works with Explorer. uBlock Origin does not. Ghostery. A little more complicated to set up, Ghostery allows you to choose which types of trackers you want to block, advertising, social media, and analytical. But you can simply check block everything or have the program determine what to block based on your browsing. It will also warn you of a potentially critical element, such as a comment section on a site, is being blocked, and it gives you options for addressing the problem. Time Traveler, cell phones. 1983, the FCC approves Motorola's Dynatac 800K, which the company calls the world's first commercial portable cell phone, the first cellular call made by the president of Ameritech. 1984, Consumer Report makes a key question about the growing market of mobile phone for cars. Is driving on a phone safe? 9X, a cell phone company, tells us that many people drive with only one hand on the wheel anyway, and runs ads showing the photo above, which shows a man driving down the road with a cell phone on his ear. 1993, 10 years after we began testing cordless home phones, Consumer Report starts testing cellular phones and reports that they were welcomed faster than any other consumer electronic product. At 6 by 3 by 2 inches, the Fujitsu Rocket Pocket Commander is one of the smallest and best we tested, and it's a flip phone, by the way, for those of you who know what flip phones are. 1997, nearly 40 million Americans now use a cell phone, and specialized cellular stores are springing up across the U.S. But this all comes at a price. Consumer Reports reports that a cellular call can cost 10 times more per minute than a conventional long-distance call, and 60 times as much as some ads imply. 2000. We test the new digital cell phones, such as the AudioVox, some after free features like email and internet access. Several cities have upwards of 100 wireless service phone plans, and the average net user now clocks 155 minutes of call time a month, and up almost 40% in just 2 years. 2002, RIM introduces several BlackBerry models. The BlackBerry costs $399 or $499, depending on the size, and has a tiny keyboard that can handle longer text messages, Consumer Reports reports. 2017, the iPhone goes on sale in June. By September, Apple reports that 1 million have been sold. We test an iPhone $400 against two big rivals, the LG Prada $550 and the Nokia N95 $750. The iPhone, we say, is the best fun smartphone we've tested so far. In 2018, a Samsung is one of our top-rated phones, with the iPhone X $1,000, not too far behind it. The Samsung Galaxy 9 at $720. Since there's currently some discussion in the North Carolina Senate about some legalization of some certain marijuana extracts, this particular piece, little small article, is kind of interesting. Where are cannabis and its pain-fighting extract CBD legal? In some states, all forms of cannabis are legal for both recreation and medical use. In others, only medical use is allowed. And in all still others, only products that contain cannabidiol, CBD, alone are legal. CBD is a compound that, unlike the THC, the tetrahydrocannabinol, doesn't get users high but may have certain health benefits. At state level, CBD is legal everywhere other than Idaho, Nebraska, and South Dakota. Every other state plus Puerto Rico and Washington, D.C. has legalized CBD, either alone, 18 jurisdictions with the THC, 31. Still details from state to state. with many at least officially requiring a doctor's recommendation for medical use. States also differ on the health problems that CBD alone or with THC can be used to treat regardless of doctor permission. On the federal level, marijuana, including all byproducts such as CBD, is currently illegal, even for medical use. For more about CBD and pain relief and other health conditions, we'll go to page 44 later on. For an interaction version of our map, well, you don't need to know that because you're not going to use it. CBD only is legal in North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, and South Carolina, and Georgia. Those are the surrounding states where it's legal. The medical THC and CBD, the closest state is Delaware, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New York, and recreational and medical, of course, is Maine, Vermont, and a couple other states in the north. October is the best time to buy wall ovens. In need of a new oven before the holiday season starts? Look now for deals on the last year's models. Interior paint. Keep an eye out for good prices on paint during Columbus Day sales at home improvement stores. Smoke alarms. You may see promotional discounts tied to National Fire Prevention Week, October 7th to the 13th. Now, since Halloween is approaching and we're going to be passing out candy, giving out treats around Halloween is fun, but remember that bags of leftovers can mean scary calorie counts for you, so no taking those as as the advertisement for one of the candy bars I've seen on TV recently said, you know, don't turn off your lights and close your doors and take the candy bars and hide in the closet. The trick to keeping your candy consumption in check, use our guide and to get an idea of what 100 calories looks like. 13 3/8 pieces of Brashas candy corn. 4 1/2 Hershey's Kisses. 5 pieces of Starburst. 2 4/5 pieces of Kit Kat. 23 sour Skittles. And 9/8 of 1 Reese's peanut butter cup. 9/10 of 1 Reese's peanut butter cup. So don't take the peanut butter cup and go hide in the closet rather than passing it out. You need to give that to the kids. They need it. Product spotlight. Mattresses for side sleepers. A whopping 68% of consumer members fall asleep on their sides, according to the more than 61,000 respondents in a recent CR survey. If you're a side sleeper, too, you'll rest easier knowing the CR evaluates each mattress for side sleeper support, in addition to many other tests. And because we know that a mattress can feel very different to different sized people, our tests are human subjects of both large and small stature, breaking out separate scores for each type. Then we average the results of those two scores to generate a score for average-sized sleepers. We observe several points along each subject's spine and measure how far they diverge from a straight line when the subjects lie down on his or her side. For a mattress to score well, the points must remain fairly parallel to the side, to the flat surface of the mattress. You might guess that softer mattresses would be better for side sleepers, but there are a few medium firm models on this list that still provide very good support for side sleepers, says Chris Regan, the CR engineer who oversees mattress testing. And you can find good side support whether you prefer innerspring or foam, although some innerspring models work better for larger side sleepers, such as the Duxania Dax below. If your bedtime, which is listed below, which I'll read, if your bedmate isn't a side sleeper, though, you may want a mattress that scores well for all sleeper positions. Innerspring, Denver Mattress Director's Doctor's Choice, $580. It does well for side sleepers for petite, average, and large, tall. The Duxiana Dux, which is one they recommended, $4,950. Side sleeper scores, petite is good, average good, large and tall, very good. Foam, Casper the Wave, $2,000. Side sleeper scores are average for all of them. Tuft and Needle TNN mattress for $575. Side sleeper scores are also average. No spectacular winners there. Product update. Crunchy, chewy, tasty, and healthy too? Can you find an energy bar that isn't loaded with sugar? Do all the good ones you force are terrible? We scrutinize the market to serve up the best choices. The first energy bars were created in the 1960s for astronauts and were later dubbed space food sticks for their easy-to-consume shape and function. Another iteration showed up on Earth in the 80s, marketed for long-distance athletes who needed something portable to keep them fueled. These days, you don't need to be on a mission to Mars or training for the Chicago Marathon to be an avid energy bar eater. Two-thirds of Americans consume them, according to market research firm Inmentel. Our hectic on-the-go lifestyles are one reason for bars' popularity. They're a convenient, no-fuss way to satiate a craving or a hunger, says Consumer Reports nutritionist Ellen Kloss. Consumers say that they buy them as snacks, as an energy pick-me-up before or after exercise, or as a meal substitute if they are trying to diet. The bars are often marketed for these specific needs, but the fact is that you need the same ingredients in many bars, albeit in some different quantities. In fact, if you're not careful, you could end up with a choice that isn't all that different from a candy bar. So which are tops in nutrition and taste? We analyzed 33 bars. What's in them? Our most important discovery, many bars don't live up to the healthy impression on the packaging. Just 6 out of the 33 tested bars earned a very good rating for nutrition. In choosing a bar, look for one that has few, if any, added sugars, such as cane sugar, honey, or brown rice syrup, in the ingredient list. It should also have 150 to 200 calories, 3 grams of fiber, and 3 to 6 grams of protein. But you can't just shop by the numbers. It matters which ingredients supply those nutrients. In our ratings, Kloss says bars with the whole foods like nuts and dried fruit as their main sources of protein. And fiber got higher nutrition scores than those with added protein from soy isolates, rice, or peas, or added fiber from chicory root or corn. And these ingredients can make a bar seem healthy, but they are highly processed. It's better to get your nutrients from whole food ingredients because they also supply a variety of vitamins, minerals, and other healthy compounds, Kloss says. Protein is the nutrient most people pay attention to when choosing a bar, according to Mentel, probably because of marketing messages that leave many believing their diets are deficient in protein. But the majority of people don't need to worry, Kloss says. Most of us get an adequate amount in our regular diet, and with one exception, the two RX bars, the bars in our tests with more than 6 grams of protein almost always contain processed sources. Added sugars are another concern. Agave syrup, brown rice syrup, corn syrup, fructose, fruit juice concentrate, glucose syrup, honey and tapioca syrup are among the sweeteners used in the bars we tested. Though some of these may sound better for you than plain old sugar, they're all added sugars and should be kept to a minimum in your diet, Kloss says. Better to choose a bar that has only fruit, and if it has added sugars, they're toward the end of the ingredient list. How do they taste? Another advantage of sticking with a mostly whole food ingredients, better taste. To wit, the bar that got our top taste score, Kind Plus Cranberry Almond Plus Antioxidants with Macadamia Nuts, had crunchy nuts, tart cranberries, and a sweet but not too sweet honey glaze. Alternatively, Quest Chocolate Peanut Butter Protein Bar, which got a fair sensory rating, didn't have much chocolate flavor and had a chalky, sticky mouthful. Better than bars. Whole foods can be easy to pack, too. If you want a truly healthy alternative to an energy bar and are willing to put in a smidge more time and effort, here are some suggestions. Breakfast. You want a mix of protein and fiber so that you're satisfied until lunch. Try 2 hard-boiled eggs plus 2 Wasso multigrain crisp bread crackers. A midday snack. You want something sweet with fiber and protein, so you avoid the vending machines. Try 1/2 cup fiber cereal like Owl Bran or shredded wheat, mixed in a 6-ounce container of plain Greek yogurt with 1/2 cup of blueberries, 1/3 cup of blueberries, or 1 tablespoon of dark chocolate chips. Before exercise, you want carbs for quick energy donut about an hour before exercise. Try 2 to 3 Metajoule dates. After exercise, you want carbs to replenish energy stores and protein to help repair muscles. Try a small whole wheat tortilla spread with 1 tablespoon of almond butter and 1/2 of a small banana, sliced and rolled up as a wrap. A mini meal. You want a serving of veggies and fruit along with some fill-me-up protein. Try 1/4 cup of hummus and carrot, celery, and bell pepper sticks. Keep refrigerated until you're ready to eat. Serve with a small whole wheat pita and an apple. Should you bite on health claims? Energy bar labels are covered in claims from gluten-free to non-GMO. We counted 31 different types of assertions on the labels of our tested bars that had to do with health, eating styles such as vegan or microbacteria, or sustainability, with the number of claims on some bars approaching a dozen. The name of a bar can convey a health message, too. For example, "This bar saves lives" may sound like it will save your life, but the name refers to the company's pledge to donate food aid to a child in need with every purchase. RX bar makes you think prescriptions, but there's nothing medicinal about it, and weight loss will obviously be on your mind when you grab a Think Thin bar, but there are plenty of bars that have a similar nutrition profile and ingredients. Here we lay out what you need to know about the most common types of claims. Clean/simple. These or similar claims are typically used when a product contains a limited number of and mostly whole food ingredients. But these words don't have any universal definition, nor should you conclude that they're therefore free of processed ingredients. For example, though the label on Kind Plus Cranberry Almond Plus Antioxidants with Macadamia Nuts Bar says ingredients you can see and pronounce, it has some processed ingredients, such as chicory root fiber, glucose syrup, and soy lectin. Gluten-free. This food doesn't have gluten-containing ingredients, such as wheat, rye, or barley. Gluten is a family of proteins found in those foods. But that matters only if you've been diagnosed with celiac disease or a gluten sensitivity. Otherwise, avoiding it hasn't been shown to help with digestion, weight loss, or any other health improvement. High protein. If a product says high in or an excellent source of a nutrient, it must, per Food and Drug Administration food labeling rules, supply at least 20% of the daily value for the nutrient. Good source of means 10 to 19%. The daily value for protein is 50 grams. However, the protein can come from a natural sources or processed ones. Check the ingredients list. Less sugar. A food with this claim must contain at least 25% less sugar than the brand's regular product or than a competitor's product. Trouble is, 25% less may still be relatively high in added sugars. No added sugar means what it says, but the product can still contain naturally occurring sugars, for example, from fruit. Low glycemic. The glycemic index, GI, is a measurement of how quickly and how high a food containing carbohydrates will raise blood sugar levels. Low and slow is better, but many factors affect GI, and the claim is not regulated by the FDA. It's possible for a manufacturer to alter the GI of a food by upping the fat content or by using added fiber or protein sources. Omega-3s. Bars that have flaxseed, chip seeds, or walnuts have a type of omega-3 called alpha-linolenic acid, ALA. Though it's a healthy fat, there's not enough evidence to say that eating foods with ALA is as good as getting your omega-3s from fish. Organic. A third of the bars in our tests were certified organic by the Department of Agriculture. This means that at least 95% of the ingredients are certified organic. They can't be grown with the harmful chemical pesticides, and there are rules about the ingredients that can be used and the way they're processed. For example, artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives are generally modified ingredients. GMOs aren't allowed, and organic ingredients can't be processed with hexone, a solvent used to extract all oil from crops such as soy or corn. And to make soy premium isolate, hexane is an air pollutant and can damage the brain and nervous systems. Still, organic doesn't mean de facto make the bar healthy. Organic products can contain a lot of sugars and processed ingredients, such as added protein or fiber. Made with organic. This means that 70% of the ingredients are certified organic. If used, the individual ingredients must be specified, such as made with organic oats and raisins. The manufacturer can choose up to three to feature. The other 30% of ingredients can't be artificial colors, flavors, or preservatives, or GMO, but products can contain ingredients grown with synthetic pesticides or processed with hexane. Non-GMO Project Verified. The standards required for the use of this seal include testing to verify that the ingredients are non-GMO. Organics cannot contain GMOs. Ratings. The Bar Wars. Our testers tried 33 bars in two popular categories, berry nut and chocolate nut, rating them for nutrition and taste. Nutrition scores, which include the evaluation of ingredients, make up 60% of the overall score. So I'm going to read the first 5 of each thing, and these are the ones that have the better ratings. Pure organic wild blueberry fruit and nut bar is the highest rated. The Kind Plus cranberry almond and antioxidants with macadamia nuts bar is the second highest. Luro Bar fruit and nut bar blueberry muffin is the third highest. And Health Warrior chia bar acai berry is the fourth. The fifth highest is Nature's Path organic superfood blueberry cashew snack bar. The chocolate bars, Nature's Path organic superfood dark chocolate peanut snack bar was the top rated. The Laura bar nut and seed crunchy bar dark chocolate almond was the second highest. Kind peanut butter dark chocolate bar was third. Pure organic peanut butter chocolate ancient green and nut crispy bar was fourth. And the fifth was Kind protein double dark chocolate nut bar. Okay, let's switch back to the recall section. Ford vehicles. Ford is recalling approximately 504,182 2013-2014 Escape SUVs and 2000-2016 Fusion sedans because a faulty shifter cable brushing may allow the vehicle to roll away even though it appears to be in park. If that happens, the vehicle might move unintentionally, Ford says. What to do? Dealers will replace the shifter cable bushing at no cost. In the meantime, owners should use their parking brake whenever parking. For details, call Ford at 866-436-7332. Novartis and Sandoz prescription drugs. Novartis and Sandoz are recalling about 470,000 prescription drug blister packages because they do not meet child-resistant closure requirements as required by the Poison Prevention Packaging Act and pose a poisoning hazard if swallowed by children. The various medications were sold at clinics and pharmacies nationwide from September 2016 to June 2018. For a complete list of medications, including the recall, go to us.sandoz.com/patients/customers/product-safety-notices or pharma.us.novartis.com/recall-zofranoc-and-ernesto-packet-packages. Kind of complicated. What to do? Keep the blister packs out of sight and reach of children. Contact Sandoz or Novartis at 888-669-6682 for further instruction. Workbench lights. Bacchus is recalling about 20,000 Stanley workbench LED lights and power stations because they are wired incorrectly, which can result in reverse polarity, posing shock and electrocution hazards. The light and power stations were sold at Sam's Club stores and online at Amazon.com from March 2017 through August 2017 for $25 to $40. What to do? Stop using the stations and unplug the power cord. Call Bacchus at 877-571-2391 or go to BacchusGlobal.com to get a free replacement or a full refund. And Bacchus is spelled B-A-C-C-U-S. Kids' pajamas. Allura is recalling about 64,000 children's pajamas because they don't meet flammability standard for kids' sleepwear, posing a risk of burns to children. The PJs were sold at stores and online from September 2017 to April 2018 for $8 to $13. What to do? Do not allow children to wear the PJs. Call Allura at 866-254-3103 or go to AlluraImports.com to get a refund. IKEA bicycles. IKEA is calling about 4,900 Salada bicycles because the bell can break and pose a fall hazard. The bikes were sold at IKEA stores and on its website from August 2016 to January 2018 for $400 to $500. What to do? Stop using the bicycle and return it to any IKEA store for a full refund. For more details, call IKEA at 888-966-4532 or go to IKEA-USA.com. At the bottom of the page, choose Press Room, then select Product Recalls. Helmets. Helmets R Us is recalling about 9,700 rollerblade blanded helmets because they failed to meet the federal safety standard, posing a risk of head injury. The helmets were sold to schools nationwide for use in PE programs from September 2011 through April 2018 for about $16. what to do. Stop using the helmet and contact Helmets R Us at 877-777-9287 or go to skatesinschool.com to get a free replacement helmet. Mandolin Slicers. Premier Kitchen Products is recalling about 19,000 the Sharper Image and Frigidaire Mandolin Slicers because the small blades in the julienne attachment can separate from the plastic during food preparation and pose a laceration hazard. The non-electric slicers were sold at stores and online from May 2017 through April 2018 for $13 to $20. What to do? Stop using the slicer and call Premier Kitchen Products at 800-304-4035 or go to thepkp-recall.com to get a refund in the form of a $15 gift card. Kohler refrigerator generator part. Kohler's recalling about 6,600 automatic transfer switches for Kohler generators because they can fail and overheat, posing a fire hazard. The switches were sold at Kohler distributors and dealers from February 2012 through January 2018 for about $530, so they weren't cheap. What to do? Immediately call an authorized Kohler service representative or Kohler directly at 800-892-7709 to schedule a free repair. Wireless charging pads. Hirsch Gift is recalling about 21,000 Cloud Charge Q1 wireless charging pads for phones because they can overheat while being used and pose a burn hazard to consumers. The pads were given away as promotions to employees and customers of various companies from February 2018 to May 2018. The product name and model number T4706 are printed on the bottom of the product. What to do? Stop using the charger and call Hirsch Gift at 877-220-4438 or go to hg-proma.com to get a free replacement. And let's close out today's program with a couple of quotable quotes. Helping is easy. Being helped takes strength. Gay Dolores, Holmes, writer. I've learned so much from my mother, starting with the fact that the world's a nicer, happier place if everyone makes a sandwich. Melissa McCarthy. I've been in the process of retiring for the last 30 years. Jessica Lange, actress. There's a great every kind of music, just like there's a great every kind of liquor. Dave Matthews, musicians. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's broadcast of the Reader's Digest Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. If you have any comments or questions or would like to be a sponsor, please call us at 919-832-5138. So long until next time.